Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. It's time to grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back and relax so we can chat about what is happening up in the stars above us this week. How many of you got to see the eclipse last night? Not me. I fell asleep. It was just after midnight, too, and I could have been awake, but I've been so tired. So much going on in my life that I just passed out and didn't wake back up. But it wasn't, you know, it was never going to be one of those big flashy kinds of eclipses. The ones that we all, you know, want to get our special glasses or we want to make sure we're up, we set the alarm to go and see. And that's because it was a penumbral or lunar eclipse, which means it's not really in as close of alignment. So we don't see as much of the moon disappearing as we do in other ones. However, on an energetic level, the eclipse is still very powerful, and we are just now kind of starting to discern what the eclipse might have brought to us. So today, that's what I really want to talk about. I want to talk about how we move forward from here. I want to talk about what you do between now and the very powerful solar eclipse coming up on April 8th, which is literally just 2 weeks away. If you can believe this, it's the last full week of March. Seems like just yesterday it was March 1st. Kind of crazy how fast time flies. And as we start to move through this window period of time, there are several things that we can be doing on our own behalf to help us understand what has been changed for all of us, or what changes need to come next. And I was chit-chatting with a friend this morning who said she hadn't noticed anything. That's okay, right? Not all eclipses are going to affect all people in as powerful a way as they might be affecting you or me, right? And that has a lot to do with how it sets up across the information in your own birth chart, right? So if you have a lot of planets sitting underneath that eclipse, either in conjunction or opposition to the moon or conjunction opposition to the sun, then likely you're going to feel it in a far greater way than you would if it would be in no man's land, which can happen, right? Sometimes based on your chart, these major things can happen in a sort of no man's land. In my own life, this is not the case. That eclipse was sitting right on top of an angle for me. And the angles, the AC, IC, DC, or MC, the angles are very sensitive points. Even though they're not considered planets, they're very sensitive points. So if you or someone you love had a chart where the angles were being hit during the lunar eclipse, then that's a probable impact for you. So nevertheless, all of us have been impacted in some way by this eclipse. So that's what I want to talk about today. What do we do after a lunar eclipse? And what do we do before the solar eclipse, right? Because that's the pattern that we're in right now. The lunar eclipse first, and then the solar eclipse. Now, sometimes it's the other way around, but right now we have the whole completion, revelation piece first, and then we have the new beginning that comes with the next eclipse. So let's talk about that. Good morning to those of you who are checking in with me. Happy Monday to all of you. Allison D., it's been a long time since I caught you live. It's good to see you too, Allison. Patty Hickox, hello. And Pam Zaruba, Retro Shadow is kicking butt since Monday. I have to just laugh and lean into it. That's a good one. That's a good one, Pam. Narges, good morning to you. Christine, good morning to you. And anybody else out there that I don't see inside here. Let's see, LS, aka Chester's mom, says, I so pray these eclipses and retro shadows leave me alone until after my move out of state this weekend. It was all planned a long time ago. So that's my prayer of ease. And likely you are just fine. To you, it might be a culmination of all of these energies. Okay, so just to update you all about what is going on in my own family, Chris, my son-in-law, did have a heart attack on Friday after all. And because they caught it early, there was no heart damage. He had a clot that I guess blocked the left upcoming vessel to the heart. And that's where the pain was coming from. They were able to put a stent in his heart and he already went home. He went home on Saturday morning and he's doing fine. However, his father is in the process of dying. And of course, that has created such stress for him and the rest of the family. My own sister rallied again this weekend yesterday. So I actually have had my bag packed sitting right here in case I had to shove off quickly. I'm kind of off the, I may actually get to unpack. I'm not sure if I will or not. I told Terry, I'm just going to unpack and then I'll repack. But that just leaves me open to forgetting something. So anyway, at this point in time, all is well. Hopefully I can get through this week. Today being Monday, of course, I do my show. But Wednesday at 8 a.m., Tam and I will be on to talk about the upcoming month of April, right? Because that's what we do, Astro Inklings. And then I will be here on Friday for the final show of the week. So you get me three times this week, hopefully, without anything else happening. So let's see. Let's start the conversation with what do I do after a lunar eclipse? You know, I experienced this eclipse well before the eclipse, and that's not unusual, right? Sometimes the things that are meant to transform or change in our lives happen before the actual event. And that's because, you know, these are not just like exclamation points that happen on a day. Of course, the eclipse did happen on a day, but the energy of it is building beforehand. And then there's a sort of break in the tension of it during, and then there's the aftermath, right? And in this sense, the aftermath is also a lead-in to the next eclipse. So there's a pattern set up here of a lot of different things that we could be experiencing during this period of time. And it's kind of amazing. And it's also kind of disconcerting. But yesterday, actually, I felt a shift. I've been sort of head deep into all of these things that have been going on in my family. And yesterday, the sun was shining so brightly. It was such a gorgeous day. I said to Terry, let's just go. So we got on our bikes and we rode. We did a 23-mile trip yesterday, round trip. And it was so freeing, right? And it felt so good. And I then realized where the lack had been in my life and what the universe was seeking to balance in my life. And that was to get out of the cloistered, emotional work aholic sort of feeling that I've been in versus getting out and taking care of myself and honoring, you know, the cycles of time, nature, right? I hadn't even really ever sat and welcomed the spring equinox, right? It's just, there's been so many intense things. So yesterday felt like a big shift for me. And all of you in some ways might be feeling that kind of energy in your own life right now, based on, you know, where this is happening in your own life. So after the lunar eclipse in Libra, it's time to reflect on your relationships. That's the number one thing, because Libra is a sign of partnerships and balance. So for the lunar eclipse in Libra, it's time to really reflect on those relationships that are most important to you and consider the dynamics in all of your personal relationships and your professional relationships. Are there any imbalances in them, right? Are you giving too much? Are you being placing too much expectation upon yourself or on the other person in the relationship? So this is a great time now to be openly honest and to communicate with your partners about how to balance your relationships, right? It could be your work partners. It could be, your significant other. It could be other relationships in your life as well. It could be your relationship with food. It could be your relationship with your health. It could be your relationship with you know, any of the houses of the chart based on what it is for you, relationship with work, with finances, etc., right? So use this time to communicate with yourself and with others openly about the status, if you will, of your relationships. And in that, I'm not just talking about reflecting. This is the time to reflect for sure, but maybe there's a way to create a plan about how you bring more balance to those relationships. And then that brings me to the second point of what do we do after a lunar eclipse in Libra? We find balance. Now, lunar eclipses are often going to reveal to us in this case, because this one was in Libra, what the areas of imbalance are in your life. And I got that revealed to me quite powerfully yesterday as I'm riding along thinking, when was the last time I was actually out in nature and enjoying the wind, the sun, the air, even the rain, right? When was the last time? And I couldn't remember when the last time was. That's kind of like, wow, out of balance completely. So the lunar eclipse may have revealed to you where you're out of balance in your own life. And then you can reflect on where you may be overextending yourself or neglecting your own needs, right? Those two things, those sides of the coin. And then focus on finding the balance in all areas of your life, including work and relationships and your personal well-being. And that might mean you have to learn how to set boundaries now, prioritizing your self-care, because if you go down, how are you there to help anybody else, right? That's the thing. Learning to say no when it's necessary, right? Learning to say yes in the right way and to the right things, right? Finding balance. And of course, because this was a full moon lunar eclipse, release what no longer serves you. You know, eclipses are powerful times for us to release and let go, especially the lunar eclipse, because that's the full moon, right? And the full moon is a time for releasing and letting go and shedding everything that no longer serves you, or shedding old beliefs, old patterns. And again, a lot of that depends on how this is playing out across the chart, that your personal chart, right? So identify the areas that aren't any longer sustainable for you. And that might mean old habits, it might be patterns, it could be relationships or beliefs. Because this is a time for you to create space for the new opportunities and the new growth that is coming into your life as we move through to the next eclipse window, a solar eclipse, a new moon, right? New beginnings. All right. Embrace change. That's the next thing on this list. Lunar eclipses often coincide with transformation, with periods of great change in one's life, right? Instead of resisting the changes that are coming up, or resisting, you know, what the natural flow of the energy is bringing you to, embrace it as an opportunity for growth and for evolution, right? That's what we're here on this planet to do, is to grow and evolve, right? Be open to new experiences and be willing to step outside of your comfort zones, right? We're moving into the solar eclipse energy, which will be in Aries. Aries is bold, courageous, right? There's a bravery there to step out of the old and into the new, right? Libra, where the lunar eclipse was, is showing us maybe what was out of balance, like what direction do we need to move more fully into? So this is a time also then of focus and self-reflection and inner work. This 2-week period of time between the lunar eclipse and the solar eclipse can give us a lot of energy to reflect on what's happened, what's happening, what needs to happen, right, in our own personal lives. And you may look at those, that because Libra is where the lunar eclipse was, Aries is where the solar eclipse will be. They form an axis in your chart, right? They're opposite signs from one another. So we have to balance opposing forces, the forces for action moving forward in Aries, and the actions of Libra that wants to keep things in balance and harmony. We have to balance that. So whatever houses those are across is where the need is for you to bring reflection and to do your inner work. Journaling is a good way to handle this period of time. Meditating is a good way to use this time. Getting readings, whether they're card readings or astrology or human design or any of the types of readings that are available to help you, you know, either dissolve what is no longer working or to help bring the light to something that maybe you've been missing. But this is a great time for all of those tools that we have for exploring our emotions, our beliefs, and our patterns, because it's a time to break the patterns and use this time to gain greater insight into yourself and your inner workings. What's holding you back? What are you afraid of? What does success mean to you? What does failure mean to you? I mean, we could go on and on about all the different things that you could be uncovering for yourself about yourself and understanding yourself better in the context of your families and your relationships. Also, taking a look at subconscious beliefs, limitations, what's holding you back, right? Those are patterns, again, that, you know, we all think that we're conscious and we're moving through our lives in a conscious way, but the subconscious is actually running the show, right? The subconscious holds the patterns that have been set in place either in this lifetime from your early years, maybe even past lifetimes that you've brought with you into this lifetime. And when you come up against problems or blocks or new things in your life or the need to change, you run up against those subconscious patterns. I see it all the time, right? In myself, I see it in others. We run up against those subconscious patterns and then we act accordingly in the way that we've always acted upon those things that have interfered in our lives. That's our first thing. It's our go-to, right? It is a part of our DNA to opt for survival. So if a block or a change or something new comes along and it feels like it's so new that it's going to upset the way that I live, then we can choose to consciously deal with that energy and move accordingly. Or what happens quite frequently, at least initially, is we react from the old pattern. So what a better time to look at those patterns, to see where in your life you've been opting or being co-opted, as it were, by those patterns and behaviors and beliefs, instead of bringing consciousness to it and choosing what to do as you come up against those old patterns. And you know, this is a time too. Now, this is going to be a little weird because we usually think of setting intentions at the new moon, not at the full moon. But lunar eclipses at a full moon, because that's where they happen, they only happen at a full moon, they mark powerful moments for setting intentions for the future. As in, I'm also kind of thinking about, let's close that door. And if I'm closing that door, what door or window is opening up on the other side? So after the eclipse, which here we are, we're after the lunar eclipse, take some time to clarify your goals and your intentions for the future. What are your aspirations? What are you going to manifest in your life? And write down your intentions. Write them down, because writing has a powerful effect on our brain. It almost is like I'm bringing it into a concrete formation, right? Or I'm bringing it into reality. And then take steps toward achieving them. And I know it's all, we're in the shadow of Mercury retrograde. I know that we're in the time between a full moon and a new moon. So it's not the opportune time to set powerful intentions, or let me reframe that. It is not the best time to start something new, but it is an excellent time to take out all of those intentions, to think about all of those things that you've wanted and to put them into proper perspective and to work them. But you also need to realize with Mercury in the shadow of his next retrograde, they may just get dusted off, right? There may not yet be the energy of actual movement on them. But if you never take the first step and identify what are my intentions, then you're not going to get there, right? We get lazy. We get spiritually lazy, right? So this is not the time for that. This is the time to get with it, right? Bring it all together. And then finally, trust in the process, right? If it's not the right time for you to do something, trust your intuition, trust your gut, trust your emotional alignment, and be able to wait. Wait until you have the clarity. Wait until the voice inside says, act. But that doesn't mean that you don't go through the process of reflection. It doesn't mean that you don't set some intentions or look at your life and see what the energies of these last several days, maybe even the last several weeks, have been showing you about your life and about what direction you want to take it in, right? Trust in your intuition, trust in your inner wisdom, and it will guide you on your path, right? We have to trust this bigger, higher self that knows more than our limited human self might know. But that doesn't mean that you can't tap into that, right? It is your higher self. It is there for you. You just have to choose to connect. So if you follow these steps, right, of the in-between time here, then the transformative energies of the eclipse can bring really positive changes to your life and set you up for the next eclipse, which is occurring in just 2 weeks, right? Just 2 weeks from now, April 8th. Hard to believe that April is already on the horizon here. All right, let me take a look at some of the comments. Thank you, Christine. He is doing well. Megan Marie, good morning to you. She says, hear and feel the self-priority for my healing. Hi, Terry. Strauss, good to see you. Closing doors for others to open. Absolutely. Absolutely. Good morning, Asa. It's great to have you with us this morning. Pam says, just ran human design data, date astrology chart. AC is 12 Libra, DC 12 Aries. And the last year, I see 1, 2, 3, 4 numbers all the time. That is interesting, right? Because gate 12 or must be degrees, 12.34 Libra, 12.34 Aries. That is that the ACDC in your own personal chart? Is that what you're saying? Or of the transit, the time that we're in? Either way you look at it, if you've been seeing 1, 2, 3, 4, it might mean look at that axis in your chart and see what is being held there at that degree for you. Good morning, Tom. It's good to see you. Narges says, so needed to hear this today. I'm so glad. Timeliness, right? It's always the timeliness. You know, I think, you know, there's a lot of hype always about these astrological things. For example, the lunar eclipse. But do we really ever talk about what do we do afterwards? Because it's not like it happens and then you're done and it goes away. Mm-mm. Nope, there's a lot going on in the background, especially now because we're in this phase between the two eclipses. So now let's take a look at what we can do to prepare for the solar eclipse in Aries, which is coming on, as I said, April 8th. And we're hearing a lot of hype in this, of course, because it crosses over the United States from the southwest corner to the northeast corner. And it's the twin or sister brother of the eclipse that happened in 2017 that went from the northwest corner of the U.S. to the southeast corner. So it actually, you know, makes this X pattern across the United States. And that X crosses on the very southern tip, I believe it is, of Illinois and the heartland of the country. So if we just look at that symbology, it's something that goes to the heart of something, right? The heart of the American people in this case, perhaps the heart of our reason for being, the heart, your heart, right? Your personal heart. And if you think about that, okay, it's the It's the heart of what I'm here for. It's the heart of how I share my gifts and my talents. It's the heart of how I serve or how I help others. It goes to the heart. So keep that in mind. It's at the heart. Interesting that my son-in-law is an Aries because he had that heart attack on his birthday, right? Goes to the heart of something, our hearts, okay? Literal or figurative, doesn't matter. It's the heart of something, crisscrossing. So it's an open invitation to become more heart-centered, perhaps. It's an open invitation to dial in right to the heart of something in your own life or the heart of something that you desire. So it's a significant solar eclipse, just like this moon, even though it wasn't a visible beauty, it was something to contend with, right? It was something important for us to understand. So the first step in astrologically preparing for this solar eclipse is to understand the significance of Aries. So get your astrology chart out if you want, if you have it handy, and look to see where Aries is in the chart. So if this chart that I have in my hand were a person, Aries, which looks like the ram's horns, right? A V with some fanciness to it. That's what Aries looks like. That Aries would be in the 12th house. So the eclipse pattern, if this were a person, and it's not a person, so I'm pretty comfortable here saying what I'm going to say. This Aries, if this were a person, is going to be dealing with a lot of subconscious patterns because the change energy, the new energy in Aries, which is bold and courageous and steeped in independence and releasing codependence, is ruled by the planet Mars. So we have action orientation, right? We have action that needs to be taken. And if this were a person, it would be action taken to clear out the subconscious patterns. Not always the most comfortable place to have a major thing going on in a chart, but so necessary, don't you think? Right? All of us need to clear out in some time in our life that the contents of the unconscious and the subconscious mind so that we can be more clear about why we're doing what we're doing, when to do what we want to do, why are we going where we're going, and why aren't we going where we want to go, right? All those good questions. So if this was an Aries person, this person would likely have a lot going on, triggers perhaps to self-reflection, triggers to releasing fears and blocks and limitations. So wherever Aries is by house in your chart, that is where a lot of energy of action, initiation, moving forward will be taking place in your life. Okay. So Terry Strauss is saying hers is in the 11th house. The 11th house is the house of hopes and dreams and wishes. It is a humanitarian house. It is also the house of networks, right? So our social media networks, the people and friends and associates that we have, and how do we interact with all of those associates? So I often think of the 11th house as the expression of our creative energies out in the world, because the opposite house is the 5th house, right? Of joy and creativity, love and romance. So the 11th house is how we share of those things in the world. And that is primarily guided by what our hopes and dreams are, right? Not everybody is going to be guided or want to share their talents and gifts in the same way as everybody else. So what does it mean for you, Terry? Christine Buckingham, natal 12th house. That's where her Aries is, right? That is just like the action of the daily chart, right? I pulled this chart in the morning and that 12th house, you're moving through the dark and bringing it into the light, right? That's the purpose of the 12th house. You know, in the 12th house, sometimes we're covering up our light and for many reasons, right? Where we're dimming down ourselves in some way. And maybe this is a time for you to uncover yourself, Christine, and to shine the light brighter, to, you know, dare, Aries words here, to be bold, another Aries word, and come out into the world in some way, in a bigger way. But it could also be you working through your own subconscious patterns and discovering, you know, ways in which that through reflection, you can clear out any of those dark places. And it doesn't have to be difficult. It doesn't have to be, you know, hiding yourself away for days. And remember, this is a new moon. So it's also choosing a new beginning. What might you choose in the 12th house to do, to be, to share as you move forward after that? In my own chart, that solar eclipse is occurring in my 10th house, the 10th house of career and profession. And what might I do next out in the world of my career and profession? So take a look at that in your own life and then, you know, research what goes on in that house. What planets do you have in that house that the sun and moon might conjunct during that eclipse? So there are a lot of things that we can consider. That wasn't necessarily, I didn't want to break it down so detailed today, but I do want you to understand the significance of Aries in your chart. It's a sign of the new beginning. It's a sign of courage moving forward. Now, it's also going to be a good time as to prepare for the solar eclipse. Reflect on what your personal goals and ambitions are, because Aries energy can be very goal-oriented, and it's focused on individual achievement. It is a sign of the individual. It is the I am. Right? It's I am. So that is the first house by rulership of the chart. And that I am house sets the tone for what you do, for who you be, who you want to be. Okay. So use the time between now and then to reflect on what it is that you have as desires and ambitions and goals. Are there any new projects or ventures that you want to pursue? So use the energy of the eclipse to set intentions and take decisive actions towards your objectives, right? That's plain and simple. Embrace change and transformation. Solar eclipses often signify the new beginning and the opportunities for growth, right? Where the lunar eclipse is closing the door, the solar eclipse is opening the door on the other side or opening the window. This is why the eclipses often mark a time for people to pass away, right? They close the door to one life and they move on into the next life. It's very amazing to me to see how much that happens in our lives. It's not that people don't die at other times, because they do, but astrologically speaking, there's a huge portal that opens up, if you will, between the eclipses for people to pass through into other dimensions. You might be doing that even in your sleep, right? Passing through maybe to a parallel life, maybe to a past life, to understanding something more about your presence in this life. So it's a really interesting time. So set those intentions, take some decisive actions, or at least plan on what those actions might be. But also with Mercury going into retrograde on April 1st, like April Fool's Day, April Fool's Day. Oh my gosh, that's too funny. Mercury goes retrograde for the most of the month of April, the 1st through the 25th. So just know that any plans that you make might get rewritten, might need to be reevaluated. Your goals and dreams and ambitions might not be realistic in the sense that you haven't prepared appropriately yet to embrace that. So take your time to go through the process. Understand, though, that with Mercury going retrograde, some things may change. It doesn't mean you stop and you don't do anything. Please don't do that. Don't waste this valuable opportunity to redirect your life because you think Mercury retrograde means not to do anything, because it's not what it means. It means things are slower. It means we might need to reevaluate, and our plans might be, you know, needing some reworking. Things might not turn out the way that you planned, but we have to be open to that with Mercury in retrograde, okay? Not shut down our lives. We can't shut down our lives. So embrace change and transformation. Be willing to risk, to take some risks, to pursue your goals and your dreams. too often we stay in the dark or we stay in the shadows and we just kind of like maybe tease the universe that, yeah, we're gonna come out of our shell, but no, then we come back. This is not the time for that. This is the time for you to embrace all that you are and to change your life and your direction to embrace that kind of thinking, that forward motion. This is a time, this in-between time, especially to focus on self-discovery and self-expression, because Aries energy really encourages us to be authentic and to have a sense of authenticity in our self-expression, right? How you would speak to astrology is different than the way I would speak to astrology, right? The way that I would do something is different than the way that you would do something. But it doesn't mean that the way you would do it is wrong or the way that I do it is wrong. It means that we are embracing our personal authenticity and our personal self-expression. So explore your identity. All of those planets in Aries, the Sun, the North Node, Chiron, Mercury, Eris, forgot about Eris, they're all in Aries. So what do they represent for you? So they, you know, in some way, they are inviting you to explore who you are at a deeper level, your identity. What are you passionate about? What makes you unique, right? And then express yourself creatively and authentically, whether it's through art or writing or business or any other form of expression, right? Musically, right? It's not all about creative art. It's about how do you bring out and express yourself creatively. Now, while Aries energy can be dynamic and can be really exciting, we must stay grounded during this time as well. That's super important. So we still want to practice mindfulness. We still want to practice meditation or any other grounding technique that you use in your own life, right? To center yourself amidst the intensity of this eclipse energy, right? Because it is so intense there, we can be, you know, very caught up in the moment, right? And getting caught up in the moment, you might be caught up in the wrong moment, right? So we have to stay centered. We want to stay focused. We want to stay balanced so that we can navigate the changes that might arise or the challenges that might arise for us during this period of time. Again, pay attention to relationships and the dynamics within your relationships. While the Sun and Earth are very clearly going to be in Aries during the solar eclipse, it's still pulling in Libran energy from the other side. And that Libran energy is the energy of co-creation, collaboration, cooperation, balance and harmony, love, right? It's ruled by Venus. So pay attention to your relationships and to those dynamics that are happening between you and those you love. Aries energy can be very assertive and it can sometimes be confrontational. So be mindful of how you enter into conversations or how you interact with others. Focus on healthy communication, right? Saying what needs to be said, but in a way that isn't horribly demeaning or overly critical, right? Or designed to hurt somebody in a way, right? We want to be considerate of other people's perspectives and other people's boundaries, right? We don't want to run herd all over people, right? That's not very good. It is a great time to start setting intentions. We've already covered this a bit, to visualize your future. If you cannot visualize your future, if you can't imagine it, and it doesn't have to be in pictures, you could visualize in words, you could just visualize in feelings, because this is a potent time for setting intentions and for planting the seeds of the future, you have to take time to visualize your goals. What's it going to look like when it's done? What's it going to feel like? Who's going to be there with you? What's it going to sound like? All of the senses can get involved, and not all of you are visual people, right? Sometimes I visualize, but other times I feel, right? I feel, and set clear intentions for what it is you want to manifest in your life. Be clear. Now, that doesn't mean that you stay attached to that visualization, right? Don't stay attached to it. Say this or something better, right? This is what I want. This is how I visualize this happening, but I am open to it happening with ease and grace. I am open to it happening in the highest and best for me, for the universe, right? Write it down. Write down your dreams, your goals, your intentions. You might create a vision board for it. That just reinforces, you know, what it is that you desire. Again, you do not have to do that. For some of you who some people are very much outcome oriented, right? Some of you are, maybe 50% of you are. The 50% of you that are outcome oriented, a vision board works really well, right? Because you can see it. You have this outcome. I'm going to make $10,000 this month, right? And you've got that. It's your intention and you could see it and it's real and you put it on a board and wow, boom, right? But the other half of you, like me, are process oriented, which means it doesn't matter so much the outcome. Yeah, I have a goal, but it's about who I become in the process of achieving that goal. Just to share how this works sometimes is that at the beginning of the year, I decided that I was going to do completions, right? That was my key word for the year. And I finally, and I don't know how I've done this with all the chaos going on in my life over the last couple of months, but I finally finished my Quantum Human Design Level 4. I had taken all the courses. I had just not finished it. I didn't finish it. I finished it last week. So the finishing of it was an intention that I had. That was a goal. I've finished several things, actually, since the beginning of the year. But I didn't put it on a goal board or a vision board. No. But I did pay attention to how I was feeling about myself as I was in the process of creating the intention. So some of you are about that, and others of you really need that number or that goal in visual form so that you can get to where you want to go. So visualizing your future, that's one way to do it. You could feel it, sense it, taste it, touch it, hear it, right? It doesn't matter. And then trust in the process, right? Finally, you've got to trust that the universe has a plan for you and that the energies of the eclipse are moving you closer and closer towards your highest good. Stay open to the opportunities. Stay open to the wisdom that you take in. Stay open to the blessings that come your way and trust in your ability to navigate the challenges that arise, especially navigating them with courage, with openness, with resilience, right? Sometimes the way forward happens with a trip up, right? With a fall, with a oops, right? And being open to, well, how do I redesign this? How do I go on from here? What was the purpose in the oops, let's say? All right. So that should give you some really good clarity about how to handle these next couple of weeks between this lunar eclipse and the solar eclipse. And, you know, don't be afraid to go all out, right? Don't be afraid. If you don't ever shoot for the stars, you'll never get there. So, you know, it takes courage sometimes to really understand that this is what I've always wanted. This is what I've always dreamed. And allow for yourself to have that dream, to pursue that dream, to maybe even see yourself achieving it. It's a good time for that. All right. So thank you, J-Lo, for that reminder. Please take a moment and hit the thumbs up button if you are enjoying the video. Let's see. Thumbs up is on Facebook. No, thumbs up is on YouTube. If you are on Facebook watching this, hit the like button. That is also a way that, you know, lets people know this is a video worth watching. Share it with your friends and your networks and your social media. So thank you so much for that, J-Lo. Let me go back to a couple things. Let's see, what degree is the eclipse in Aries? I do believe that is happening at the 12 degree mark in Aries. Let's see if I can discern that from here. It is happening by the way, on April 8th at 11:21 a.m. That is this in Pacific time? Yes, for Washington. Okay, so it will be 2:21 p.m. for those of you on the East Coast. And let's see, how let's do a chart. Because I don't think I've done the chart yet for that. I will also speak to this a bit on Wednesday when I have Tam with me, because she is, of course, the one that is my Astro Inklings partner on Wednesday. And we'll take a look at all the energies of April, but in particular, the Aries new moon solar eclipse. It is, hold on, got to get the chart up. Holy moly. No, that sun and moon will be at 19 degrees, 24 minutes, Asa, 1924. It was a very good year. And by the way, just to give you a heads up, that eclipse is in an exact conjunction to Chiron. Chiron also at 1924 of Aries. So if you want to think of this eclipse as seminal, as like the pinnacle of maybe your life at this moment, right? The snapshot of how can I, because Chiron involved is of course a healing pattern, healing the wounds. So that might be, you know, the releasing stuff that we just talked about. Maybe it's about releasing the wounding so that I can clearly move forward without the baggage of the past, right? I'm shedding that old stuff, the old dialogue, the old beliefs, the weight. So I can come clean, so I can start fresh, right? It's all about the new. So 1924 answers the question. I trust, I love, I am God. I trust, I love, I am God wins. I love that. Natasha, good morning to you. In the last 2 weeks, I've shifted with many blessings with my relationships, with my business, money, husband, my new website. I love it. Megan, Aries in third, conflict in communication with my SO, significant other, clearly needs a shift, right? You know, the third house is an interesting place because it's also the house of the mind. So it's communication, but what we're often doing is communicating what we know, right? Or what we believe, or what we think is real, right? So communication is a part of this, but it's also about the mind and shifting in communication. While awesome, right? Shifting how you speak, it all begins with a shift in your mind, a change in how you see that person, of how you view communication between the two of you. So, you know, looking at your own self, remember self-reflection first. So how are you contributing to a lack of good communication? Not to blame or shame yourself, but to heal the wound, right? To heal the wound. That's a part of this for you. So it's a lot of work, right? That's powerful. And you have to remember too, that it's across an axis. So Megan, your ninth house is also coming into play. And the ninth house is your connection to your higher self, right? The part of you that knows love and has no boundaries versus the more limited third dimensional mind that is focused in, you know, this planet. So you have access to both during this time. It's perfect, right? For clearing the air, maybe for moving in a new direction. Wade, love, not war, worldwide, if only, right? If only. And of course, as I would say to anybody, if we want to see love, not war in the world, we have to start with ourselves, right? Where are we called into warlike behaviors, right? We may not actually be participating in war, but within ourselves, we are at war. And it's so easy to get here right now because we hear all of these things on the news, right? That are just incredible, right? They're it boggles our minds. And it's almost like you're either on one camp or you're in the other camp. There's no in between anymore. Like, what happened to the middle, right? What happened to the, you know, the whole central, centrist part of things, right? The balance point, the harmony point, it's in the middle. It's not on either end. So we also have to work together. We have to work on our individual sense of peace and love and harmony if we really want to see that out in the world. Tom, this or something better. Thank you, God, puts you and the manifestation in gratitude. Awesome. Put them on the fridge to manifest too. We always look at the fridge door. That's funny. Like, I put lots of stuff on my refrigerator. My upcoming insurance cards are there. The newest pictures of the grandkids are there. So it's a great place, right? I'll reach for something in the refrigerator a couple of times a day. So it kind of puts it in perspective. Good morning to you, Jane. Shoot for the moon. Then if you miss it, you'll hit the stars, right? Megan, healing from a back injury and also feeling like things are going to take time, even though I had a plan for big change this spring. You know, I know, let's unpack that for a minute. Because for one thing, a back injury, now, there's never an exact one-to-one correlation to astrology and the body. But there is a correlation nonetheless, right? In the body, Leo rules the back. And what is going on in the Leo part of your chart? Leo rules the heart. It rules the spine, right? And self-expression and the idea of being authentically yourself. And a back injury just may be an indicator, not a causative effect of needing to take a look at how do I become more authentically me, right? An injury in the back causes you to slow down and gives you time between the healing and the next action that you can take. So I like to look at things, right? I had this big plan and then all my family members started having health issues. And I'm like, okay, I just have to come to peace with being more aligned at this point with family instead of my career. I can only do what I can do. And in your case, whatever house axis that is, Leo, and Aquarius, that might be an area where you just have to just sort of give up any kind of attachment to it happening the way that you want it to happen, in the timing that you want it to happen, right? You just have to be okay with it going on through the process, right? And becoming authentic is always an experience that you want to undertake. So, and I'm not quite sure what all that means for you, Megan, but hopefully that has some meaning. Good morning, Taylor Jenkins. Good to see you out there. J-Lo, what would be the orb we can watch for? Ideally, we would say between 3 and 6 degrees. But at this point, with so many planets transiting through Aries, J-Lo, I would even go 10. It would really depend. Like if you have an open Aries house in your chart, then I would keep the orb smaller. And when we look at eclipses, we're looking mostly at the conjunction of that eclipse to anything in your chart or its opposition to something in your chart, because that is how we experience eclipses, not really through the squares or the sextiles, anything like that, or the trines. It's really the conjunction and the opposition. Okay. So that trims it down a little and helps us focus in a little bit more on what its importance is to us. But I would definitely, you know, 6 degrees is not out of the question. 10 degrees might not be out of the question, especially if it's your Pluto that might be being impacted, right? Some of you are Pluto in Libra generation, right? You were born in the 80s, early 80s to maybe mid 80s. Maybe even the late 70s, and you have Pluto in Libra. So, of course, the eclipse in Aries is opposing possibly your Pluto. That's going to give it a bigger orb of transformation possibility. So it really is kind of dependent on what is going on in your own personal chart. With Chiron, immortals with mortal wounds. Oh, that I love that. I'm going to I'm going to steal that, Tom. Immortals. We are immortals with mortal wounds. That's the whole story of Chiron, right? He was a demigod. He was part god. He was part human. He was centaur, not human. He was part physical and mortal, and he was part demigod or spirit, right? Immortal, if you will. And he suffered a wound, and he hurt from that wound. So it's great kind of to look at how we are wounded, but we are immortal beings in mortal bodies, to be sure, but we are immortal. Almost exactly opposite my son in Libra, Asa says, in the 12th house. So you too, like who was it? Christine or somebody was also going through that 12th house. What do I let go of? How do I release all the stuff that's extraneous, that does not fit, that is not me, so that I can be emerging out of this shadow, out of this time period, bright and shiny and new? That's a lot. It's a lot. And it's not necessarily comfortable either, but it's so beautiful once you do the work and you realize how much of yourself, how much of your light you've been covering up for other people or for, so other people won't see the true you. Jane Robinson, I'd love to learn more about human design. Do you teach classes? Yes, I do. Thank you for coming on live despite all that you've been going. I know. I just was like, sometimes you just have to keep going. Now, this week, I'm kind of excited because I'm going to stay home this week. I don't have to, unless something happens to my sister, I will be here this week because my brother-in-law has other family staying at the house. So I'm probably decide what next class to teach. And I'm sorry, it's probably not going to happen in March. So we'll do it in April, the next class on human design. Good morning. Hi, Terry. Libra moon at 2 degrees, Taylor says. So definitely calling you into this. Your Libra moon might cause you to sometimes give away too much of yourself. So bringing that in balance, Taylor, right? The collective Chiron is in the gate 51 and the eclipse will happen on the 51-57 transit because the nodes are there. 51-57, right? 51 being the shock, the awakening, the, and you know, wow, I just thought of this, my son-in-law, what a shocking thing to at 43 years old on your birthday to have a heart attack. Wow. But shock has its purpose. It points us in a new direction. It shows us where we are not aligned with sustainability because the 51 actually sits on the will center of the human design template. So the will center is about sustainably minding our resources. Our time, our energy, our money, our things, right? So often the 51 in the awakening process will show us where we are out of alignment with our truth, our authenticity, with sustainable actions. So if you're being shocked, it's not always a bad thing. It's an awakening of some sorts. I'm guessing Chris had a major awakening and I know he has, right? I know he has. All of us, though, are impacted by shocks at some point in time, and they don't always have to be bad ones, right? They don't all have to be heart attacks that wake us up. Sometimes it's that time that finally the work you've been doing for all your life comes to a culmination point and all your dreams come true. That's possible too, right? So we have to remember that while Chiron is going through 51, our wounds are being poked at. Right? Your wounds are being poked at wherever those wounds are. And whether you have gate 51 defined by your own planets in your chart or not, every one of us now is being poked by Chiron and the North Node is at the 51. We are being prompted by the universe to awaken and to move forward in a highly spiritual way, to let go of those lower mind exercises, right? The hate, all the lower energies, right? To in some way sort of heal the duality within us so that we're healing by reflection the duality outside of us, right? Thank you for bringing that up, J-Lo. That's awesome. And let's see. Thank you, J-Lo. That is really sweet. What if he needed the extra electricity to keep him going? We often see the negative and then notice the gift we have been given. I don't know what that's in relation to, but that's definitely possible. And Asa says, I do have the gate 51 to find. I do believe it is your earth. So you're grounded in awakening. I love that. All right, last, it's 9 o'clock. I can't believe that. But I had one more thing to share with you about the week ahead, and that is Venus in Pisces moving into sextile with Uranus in Taurus. And that blends the energies of Venus, love, harmony, music, money, maybe music, with Uranus, the innovator, right? The awakener, the rebel, the sudden change, right? So we're blending these things together this week. So expect maybe romantic surprises, however that may play out, creative inspiration, the aha moment, the light bulb moments, emotionally being liberated, right, from something, financial opportunities, possibly, experimenting with things of pleasure, meaning helping, soothing yourself with the beauty around you, right? The beauty of nature. I was thinking the other day, you know what I really want to do? I want to go to the store and buy me flowers, buy myself flowers. Terry, that's a hint. You can buy me flowers too. But flowers, because they perk up an environment, right? They make it beautiful in the house. Unconventional things might be happening this week as well. So overall, though, it encourages us to be spontaneous in some ways, to be very creative, to liberate ourselves from old emotional hurts and wounds, to be the light in your own life, right? To be the light that gives and gives to others, explore new possibilities, all of that good stuff. I am going to draw us a card because I just heard we need a Galactic Heritage card. And okay, even though those cards are long-winded, let's do it anyway because that's what I just heard. Now, this deck is called the Galactic Heritage Cards, and they are by, I always forget, Lissa Royal Holt. And they take us to our brothers and sisters in the cosmos. And I want to say that everything that we're doing now in our own personal lives and in, you know, the collective is to prepare ourselves to become galactic citizens, to join in with our fellow life forms in other galaxies. And the card I pulled is Imbalance in Positive Polarity. It is Pleiades of the Past. It is card number 39, which is a 12. The artwork is kind of funky in these. Funky good. So Imbalance in Positive Polarity. Let's see what that means. Huh, that's funny. It's one on the cover too. okay, so card 39. And this is a card that takes us into the Pleiadian past. Okay, and here's what it says. In the ancient Pleiadian history, one of the core lessons of the species had to do with denying the shadow side within. They only wanted to focus on the positive and habitually suppressed their dark aspects. It is important to recognize and embrace all aspects, dark and light. In your life right now, try to see where you suppress the darkness inside, such as emotions or pain that you don't want to feel. See it. Love it and dialogue with it. Use it as a part of your growth. In doing so, you will heal many old habits and patterns from lifetimes past on Earth and in the stars. This card represents one of the core lessons of the Pleiadian people when they were a young species. They had a tendency to push away the negative emotions and only acknowledge the positive in life. These unprocessed emotions festered on a collective level, and after millennia, this submerged energy had to be released. This unconscious negative energy created an immune system disease that ravished the Pleiadian people. No one could find a cure. It wasn't until they sought to help the help from shamans of their society that they fully understood what was happening. After much inner searching, the shamans realized that the repressed negative energy on a collective level was creating this immune disease. They made many suggestions to release this energy, and eventually the disease disappeared. Humans are genetically most connected to the Pleiadian people, and we have a tendency to do the same thing, to push away our unpleasant emotions and the dark aspects of our psyches. Many of the diseases we face today are because of this repressed emotion. Now, isn't it interesting if we take a look at COVID in our very recent memory and how that's unleashed a whole host of shadowy energies in our society? They were being unleashed before, but now, wow, amazing, right? So many of the diseases we face today are because of this repressed emotion. If this card came up in a reading, you most likely had experiences in the Pleiadian system during this era, and you most likely needed to clear the issue of repressed emotions. It's also a message to continue to stay connected to the emotions you are feeling and never push them away. You can write about them or face and embrace them in meditation. If you make a commitment to this process, you will live a healthier and happier life. Imbalance in the positive polarity. Okay, meaning deal with your shadows. You have the opportunity. That also reminds me that as we go into April, we go into the Pleiadian collective unconscious period or collective shadow period. So that card might be quite important for us now. Let's do a quick animal card just to give us a spirit animal to get through these next weeks, 2 weeks. And buffalo spirit, the abundant universe will provide buffalo. Now, buffalo was upside down. So we have a shadow energy we might be dealing with here. So let's take a look at that. Card number 10. I like tens. That's a one. And a new beginning. Okay. So in the protection message, it says, when Buffalo Spirit visits you with a message of protection, he is asking you to shift your thinking from poverty consciousness to one where you trust the universe will provide. Have you been falling into financial insecurity, worrying that there will not be enough money in the future? Have you been stressing and feeling sorry for yourself, worrying that because you have no romantic relationship now, you will never have one? Do you see scarcity where there is, in fact, abundance? Are you comparing yourself to others and falling short? Self-pity, entitlement, fear, and lack are all thought viruses that seduce you into darkness. Buffalo Spirit nudges you to make a gratitude list and be mindful of your thoughts at this time. Even if outer events have happened to challenge your beliefs in abundance, outer conditions are temporary. If you are suffering from the malaise of fear that you are impoverished, realize that it is only a poverty of perception and perspective. Wow. Prayer, communion with your higher power, and gratitude coupled with compassionate selfless service will snap you right out of it. Give to someone who has less than you. Be thankful for the tiniest things and say affirmations. Then you will remember abundance is the true nature of the world. Buffalo Spirit. Great. All right, guys, that is it for me today. Don't forget, I'll be here Wednesday at 8 a.m. With my friend Tam, taking us on a trip through what to expect for April. That's it for me. Thank you so much. Bye for now. Do you wish you could better understand yourself and what is going on in the world? Well, grab your cup of coffee or tea and join the podcast Living Astrology with Janet Hickox for Astrology, Human Design, and Gene Key's Wisdom. Mondays and Fridays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. Podcasts are available on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, and your other favorite outlets.